Inside your worship guide, you have a new set of message notes. And we're going to be looking at our gracious Father's mercy as shown through our sincere prayers. It'll be a discussion on my part with you to bring into view the last nearly 8 weeks of Kathy's and my life. We had a special time take place on July the 5th, and from there on, life was real different for especially for her and for the two of us. So we have seen marvelous things in that. So if you just bow your head with me for a moment. Abba, we want very much to hear from you. And so you've got me, and I'm asking you, please, use me in a gracious, merciful way to be able to describe your wonderful gifts that change lives and build up hope in our lives and give us every reason to stand forth and to give a wonderful, honest, thrilling testimony as to your working in the lives of your kids, and especially in the lives of those who are a part of this message going forward today and next Sunday. So, Father, thank you for joining us, and thank you for what you want to teach us today about your goodness towards us. And it's in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for these things. Amen. Amen. You had some interesting guests while we were gone, I noticed. I have one of those welcome cards. I go through all of them, and this one was on August 8th or 6th. Remember who was speaking that day? That was Jackson, you know, Jack Littlefield. And I'm suspecting he had something to do with this card. But the name on it is Donald Trump. And it says the guest of Pastor Ron. I wasn't anywhere near here. And then over, two prayer requests. First one, I'm facing many indictments. Number two, for my hair to go back to normal. So, next time you see Jackson, tell him we found him out. But during my DPE, one of my deep personal experiences with the Lord this past week, he was sharing this with me as we begin this new, very short series. He said to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 3, the Holy Spirit now speaks to us, and he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. That was appropriate for Kathy and for me, because what he says there always is the truth, but it was certainly and is certainly true for she and for me. So if you're new with us this morning, thanks for coming. And I hope that I don't let the Lord down for your sake. But I would like you to pay attention to the first three questions on the very front page of your message notes. It is our desire for each of us who make GHCC our church home, family, and for those who attend, to be able to take these three questions and apply them to the message as it is being delivered and after it has been delivered, so that you can apply it in your own life. See how it affects you and what the Holy Spirit has revealed through this message for you to go and do yourselves. So make yourself familiar, as our church family is asked to do every Sunday, with these essential questions. So early on July 5th, the day after that wonderful day of celebrating the 4th, Kathy found herself in a typical place, Panera Bread, with this particular night, two of the girls in her Wednesday night Bible study. Sometimes there's many of the girls joining together to have a bite to eat before coming here on campus and enjoying the study of God's Word. But this particular night, she's with Nina Sottosanti and with Bonnie Scamaldo. And during their, I don't know what they were discussing, hopefully it wasn't me, but they were talking with each other, and Bonnie and Nina noticed that Kathy had a smile on her face, wide awake in appearance, but she wasn't really tracking with the discussion. They were talking to her, she wasn't replying back. She was in the midst of a seizure. So they kept talking to her, and so I'm told this lasted somewhere between 3 to 5, maybe 6 minutes, that she's unresponsive. But she has her sweet smile and is just not responding. So Nina asked Bonnie, so I'm told, to call 911. And so the paramedics are dispatched. I don't know if you've ever really thought about it when you hear them going by, see them going by, or hear them going by with their Code 3 sirens on, but this is grace and mercy from our Lord. He is sending these wonderful individuals, well-trained, to come to our aid and to be assistants to our bodies that are kind of falling apart day by day. So Kathy, seizure ends at this juncture when the paramedics are pulling into the parking lot. She's awake and she's seeing these paramedics in the lot and wondering, gee, I wonder why they're out there. And they gather their materials and they walk into the restaurant where they are. They approach the table where she is sitting and they want to talk to her. And she is totally blown away by this, because at whatever point the seizure began and at the point that it ended, she doesn't have any remembrance of that at all. No remembrance. So she is totally surprised when the paramedics announce that they're here for her. She, why me? I'm fine. And she's in her own lovely way, so I'm told. And I'm on the phone and listening to all this taking place because Nina called me. I'm at home out in Santa Clarita. And I hear them speaking with her, and she's trying to convince them she's perfectly fine. You know, they've made a mistake. You know, and they want to take her to the hospital. And she says, well, if you want to take me anywhere, take me home, you know. But no, they invite her to go outside and take her to the paramedic wagon, and they ask her questions, and based on those questions, they decide that she should be cleared by a doctor. So she knows that we're part of Kaiser, and she insists that they take her to Kaiser, and says, no, they don't have a trauma center for this, so we're going to take you to Northridge Medical Center. And but you don't understand, we're with Kaiser, and we don't have insurance for these other hospitals. They went to Northridge Medical Center and to the emergency room. So at that point, I'm on my way from Santa Clarita to Northridge. Again, think about God's grace and His wonderful mercy. This is not, so we find out, the first time that she has had one of these seizures. She had one of these when she was teaching one particular day. The lady that is now the teacher in the Northridge Community School replacing Kath, because she retired 3 weeks before this event took place. She had had a couple of occasions like this with Kathy, where She looks perfectly normal, but she's gone. She's really not there. And she is at Northridge Community Hospital, and they immediately take her in for a CAT scan before I even get there. The wonderful thing about godly people, particularly Nina and Bonnie, is that because of their having come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, they have become the benefactor of God's wisdom, knowledge from having studied the scriptures together, and having learned to be discerning as our Heavenly Father is discerning. So it's because they recognize these things taking place with Kathy and called the paramedics, and the paramedics coming. God's grace is all over this. Can you imagine if she had had one of these seizures while she was driving? You know, the damage that could have come to her, the death that could have come to her body, the damage or the death that could have happened to another person that she would have hit. And she would not have understood why in the world this had taken place. As you look at your notes, I've given you a subtitle there that says The Clarity of Father God's Grace and Mercy. We see the clarity of God's grace and mercy in what these two godly women were recognizing and seeing that Kathy needed help. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12 in your notes, it says Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, and what he said, can we read that together? Let's read it aloud, shall we? Let's read it together. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So to look more closely at this, he is saying, he is showing us the clarity of his grace and his mercy, because it begins with the knowledge of redemption, of salvation alone that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light. I am, this word light is symbolic of him saying, I am God. I am your God. I am holiness. I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, this term means if you believe in me, if you obey me, you won't have to walk in darkness. You won't have to walk in evil anymore. You will not have to find yourself perpetually sinning anymore. You won't find yourself ignorant of this wonderful Heavenly Father who sent his Son to come into the world to save us if we would turn to him, if we would receive him through confession and repentance of our sins. This is the developing and the beginning of showing clearly people, human beings, God's grace and mercy, so that we would spend time with him here and later in heaven, that we would not go to hell, that we could enjoy him and his family even now. The clarity of God's grace. Would you show those first couple of photographs, please? Here they come, the paramedics for our sweet Kathy. And she would be out there. I think she was a little embarrassed, but she had no need to be, none whatsoever. These are symbols, if you will, of God's grace in your life and certainly in Kathy's and mine. These are like ministering angels in uniform that have been sent to take care of Kathy. So these women being godly women, Nina and Bonnie, having this knowledge from the Lord Jesus Christ, they're able to share clearly with Kathy. There is this need, even though she doesn't comprehend its need. We have grace and mercy in the Seidel family being ministered through these two wonderful women in our church to my girl. So the action step, family, there. Here's your fill-in. If you would like to be a follower of Jesus and know without a doubt you are forgiven of your sins, past, present, future, and get to know him deeply, and I mean that sincerely, to get to know him deeply and profoundly, then please call me. I would love to share with you his grace and to show you his mercy and to discuss his gospel, that if you embrace it, you too can be saved. Or you can call Pastor Eugene. He would love to talk with you. Likewise, you can call Elder Chris Wright or Elder Gary Rasmussen. Or you can call Kathy now. She's up to it. You can call her and she can talk to you about God's grace and mercy and his great salvation. You can call Barbara Wright, and she would love to speak with you as well. Or Elaine Rasmussen. Or you can call any number of people in our church family that you might notice as you come in. They're kind of different in that they have these smiles on their faces. They don't look like other Christians, you know. Look like they have the flu. And they're happy. And they would love to share the good news of Christ with you. This church family wants you to enjoy Jesus now and in heaven. The second subtitle there, the fruit of Father God's mercy and grace, the fruit of it. Grace is powered by the holy heart of our Heavenly Father. Trying to comprehend it is trying to comprehend the whole of God's grace and his mercy is kind of like going out into the parking lot at noontime and looking up at that orb in the sky, the sun, looking at it, and you're taken over by the brilliance of the sun shining back at you. It's overwhelming. Looking directly into the sun is blinding. It's supernaturally phenomenal, this grace and this mercy that I've been sharing with you this morning. The fact is this, as you look at your notes, grace can only come from our three-in-one God. It can only come from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, this one who loves us. It is a gift. This grace and mercy is a gift. It is unsolicited, it is unmerited, and it is unlimited. For no matter what we have done, no matter the depth of our transgressions, our sinfulness, the darkness of our hearts, grace overrules them all. Grace overrules them all, family. Would you say that with me? Grace overrules them all. Hold that. Never forget that. His grace is with you always. You who are his kids. Father God pursues us relentlessly. He will not give us up. And once he has captured us, he will not let us go. This is, amen, Gary. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I truly mean relentless. When I was a teenager and on my first assignment in the Air Force up in that wonderful place that I've described to you called Alaska, and my sergeant invited me to go to this little Southern Baptist church. That is where I heard the gospel for the first time. That is where I would reject it for the first time. But to demonstrate God's grace and his mercy upon me, he kept me alive through all those years I was in the military. Vietnam started the next year. He kept me alive through that entire time that I spent in Laos. He kept me alive. So many of my friends died, but he kept me alive, his grace and his mercy that I had no knowledge of at that point. But in the midst of that, I'm not a reader. When I was taking English lit in high school, we had to read these tomes, you know, these great English books. And one of them was The Red Badge of Courage. So I rushed out immediately to buy the comic book, the classic illustrated comic book, to read and do my report on for The Red Badge of Courage. I didn't like reading, not at all. One of my English classes, again in high school, I had to give a verbal presentation, oral presentation of the book I had read. Excuse me. Well, I hadn't read a book for a presentation. So I presented a book I made up called X, The Unknown. And my teacher thought it was so phenomenal. She loved my presentation. She went to the school library. The next day in school, Ron, I couldn't find that book, X, The Unknown. I wanted to read it. You made it sound so interesting. Oh, I got it at the public library. I'm not a Christian. I'm lying through my teeth. And I don't know if she ever went to check that out. But at any rate, that was the way I am about reading. But I was reading this book, and it was called A Man Called Peter. And I'd seen this movie in junior high that was based on that book. A Man Called Peter, Peter Marshall. He was a young man from Scotland. He came to faith in Scotland, and he came to the United States, dug ditches, and went to Princeton University when Princeton had a seminary that was preaching the Word of God. That takes you back to the 1940s. And he became a chaplain. I mean, he became the pastor of the first church of Presbyterian Church of Washington, D.C., the President's Church, it was called, and he became chaplain of the Senate during the years of World War II. He was just a phenomenal young man, and I developed this affinity for him. He's one of the first 10 people I want to meet when I get to heaven. And reading that book, I found myself in tears, because there are certain parts that really just touch my human heart. But you see, the Lord was already ministering his grace and his mercy to me and drawing me through these little hints to himself. The same thing would take place when I saw the movie The Greatest Story Ever Told. I thought I was being a good son, taking my mother, who had become a new Christian, to see that movie. And it touched my heart as a young man. The Lord was demonstrating grace and mercy and drawing me at that time to himself. So again, I just want to emphasize, if you have not given your life to Christ and you sense that you're a bit uncomfortable with what I'm saying and the way life has been going, just understand that's God the Holy Spirit. And he's after you. You can fight him as long as you want. You can be as miserable as long as you want. But I decided, not being the sharpest pencil in the drawer, that I would stop fighting once I got out of the military and was forced at that time to go to church, and I won't go into that at this time. God was showing his grace and his mercy. He will not let go of you, family. He is so generous, so generous. He's been so very generous to Kathy and to me these last almost 8 weeks that we've been gone. In Psalm 27 and verse 8, if you'd look there in your notes, the psalmist says, "My heart has heard you say, come talk to me. Come talk to me." And my heart responds, "Lord, I am coming." And as I am driving from Santa Clarita to the Northridge Medical Center to be with Kathy, I'm remembering these things. He has said, "Come to me." And I am going to come to him. I am praying the whole time on my way there. What has happened? What is taking place? What is it that Kathy is already being confronted with? And what is it that I'm going to learn once I get to where my girl is? I'm not looking forward to going to emergency rooms. I've gone to a number of emergency rooms for folks, you folks, in the hospital. It's not fun being with people you love and trying to be strong in the Lord and to bring his grace and his mercy with me to you. And now I'm going to see my best girl and what is transpiring. So I was hearing him very clearly, "Come talk to me." And I told him, "I'm here. I'm already here. And I'm talking to him." Our DPE family, our time with the Lord, our deep personal experiences with him are tremendously enhanced as we spend that necessary time. Our relationships with him will grow and grow as you make these appointments with him on a daily basis. Romans 15, 13, it says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him." This is a marvelous passage. Now remember, this is not just black print on a white page or vice versa, however you want to look at it in your Bibles. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning. He has already spoken to Kathy and to me through passages like this. But he is speaking to all of us today. And he says to you and to me, "I pray that God, the source of hope," this one, remember our acrostic, hope, H for hope, O for optimism, P for being positive, and E for encouragement. He is saying to us, the source of our hope, our optimism, our being positive, our encouragement will fill you with completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Because those of us that have trusted in him, he has borne his fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience. Just to mention the first ones because that's what's in this passage. Peace because you trust in him. Even in the midst of not knowing what's going on. In my case, my girl, my wife, my lover, the mother of my children, the grandmother to my grandchildren. Something is going on that is tremendous that requires her to be in an emergency room. Nina would say to me later, she thought she was having a stroke. Kathy and I are in that last quarter, that last physical quarter of our time here on earth. And it certainly could have been. Paul goes on under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in chapter 15, verse 13. "Then you will overflow with confident hope." You'll overflow with hope and optimism and positivity and encouragement through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in Kathy Seidel. He is there and resident and will never leave her or me or each of you who are in Christ Jesus. He's a wonderful, wonderful paraclete, the one who comes alongside to build us up and to encourage us. The neurosurgeon had already begun their work. When we got there in the emergency room to show you his grace and his mercy, we don't know why we are really there, but they did a CAT scan before I got there. And when I get there, the emergency doctor is saying she has a mass on the frontal lobe of her brain, the size of a large lemon. This mass. And it was like he was going to say more, and then he didn't. And he said, we don't have a neurosurgeon in the hospital, but we have a phone call in to a neurosurgeon in Sacramento. And we're going to talk to this neurosurgeon who's going to look at her x-ray or her CAT scan film, and we have a conversation with him like he was actually standing there. We're on a television set talking to him. And he's talking about a mass, always a mass, that's the word. But now the doctor, the emergency room doctor, is talking about cancer. And he has really gotten my attention. My wife has cancer? So after we finish talking to the doctor, the neurosurgeon on what I call the television, I turn to this doctor and I say, he said mass, you originally said mass, but now you're saying cancer. Are they one and the same? And he said, the reason I call it cancer, Mr. Seidel, is that it's encapsulated. We could see that it hasn't spread to other places in her body. That still doesn't give me a whole lot of assurance. But God's grace and his mercy upon us both in that room, there's peace in our hearts. And we have a sense of joy because we also know this. We're anticipating being shipped out of that hospital to Kaiser. And we're being told that no, we're going to stay in the hospital at least that night. So Kathy is prepared and taken up to ICU. And so I go home. I can't stay. But I'm back the next day. And we have now a neurosurgeon in the hospital. Tremendous man. Really. Many of you know Mindy, our oldest daughter. She was a nurse, and she knows of some place to go online to check doctors out to find out if they just got their MD. You know, the last person to graduate in a medical doctor class gets the same degree, MD. And I would really want someone who is at the top of his game. And Mindy informed us that Dr. Liker graduated from Princeton. He has nothing but thumbs up, if you will. He's 56 or 58 years old. He's done a number of these surgeries. And there's nothing bad about him. He got all of his medical training through SC, and so we're very, very blessed because he's not a Kaiser doctor, because Kaiser, they receive their doctors from an agency that generates doctors for Kaiser hospitals, and some of them are, you know, A-plus doctors. But this guy, he is He has worked for Kaiser on occasion, but he's his own man. And he informs Kath that he's going to be your doctor, and he will not allow them to ship her out to Kaiser, and that she is going to spend her time at Northridge Medical Center, and that he's going to be her doctor. And we would find out, not only is she going to have him as a doctor, he's going to be there, her doctor, for up to 90 days and potentially longer than that if necessary. So we're thrilled. God's grace, God's mercy. He has not given her a doctor. He has given her a tremendous doctor to look after her. So we're encouraged. In the midst of all this, we're still encouraged. Surgery has not taken place. We see in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, those who agape God, seek his best, his highest good, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. The Lord is being faithful and bringing forth his word. Do you remember what I promised? Here it is. Here is my grace and my mercy that is being active. And I felt like he wanted us to be sharing these things with you, because some of you may be facing something immediately. Some of you may be facing terrible things in the near future. Our Lord is faithful to his word, family. He is gracious and most merciful. And as he has been there for Kathy and for me and for our family, he will be there for each and every one of you who are his kids. He loves you very, very, very much. So here's your action step. Now that you better understand these tremendous supernatural gifts you have been given, show Abba Father how grateful you are by making a point of living them out each day in the power of the Holy Spirit, and continue the blessing. So this morning, family, the reason I am sharing these things, and next week I'll go into greater depth and more pictures and so forth of the graciousness and mercifulness of our Heavenly Father. I'm bearing testimony to these things. Kathy has been bearing testimony individually with a number of you, and she's going to be sharing this Wednesday night with the girls as you come together. It is this Wednesday night, right, huh? No? Two more Wednesday nights? She'll be sharing. You'll get her perspective. You're getting mine as I've been on this journey, this adventure with her through this time in our lives together. But show Abba Father your gratefulness. And that's what I hope I'm doing this morning and what I plan to continue to do next week. I want to show you how absolutely terrific he is. This is not reading a book and not having interaction with it, or life interaction after you've read a particular book and you just kind of let it go. This is life. This is life in the real. This is what has happened to us. He has been absolutely, miraculously, supernatural, tremendously in both of our lives. And I want you to know that sincerely and pursue him in your own DPEs. The next subtitle here is Father God blesses us when we demonstrate faith in prayer. When we demonstrate faith in prayer. The psalmist said, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. I prayed to the Lord. I'm not the psalmist. I am not anybody special. But I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Amen. I am scared in part of my living this out is, you know, He would take away my fear for moments during the day. And then I would think about it in my humanness much too long, and the fear would come back. But then I would talk to him some more, and he would take it away, and he'd give me joy in my life. And joy doesn't mean happiness. Joy is this marvelous supernatural thing that takes place that makes you appreciate the Lord himself in the most harsh circumstances. But I prayed to the Lord, the psalmist says, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And that is exactly what he has done. Totally, completely. He has freed me. And I believe Kathy would say the same thing, but she has to speak for herself. He has freed us totally from our fears. And he wants that for you too, who are going through some tough times right now. You have loved ones that are in bad places, medically speaking. He's with you, family, but you need to go to him. You need to be involved with him. You need to spend time with him, enjoy him, and let him work in your life his grace and his mercy. All of my aunts, my automatic negative thoughts, you know, Kathy will often call me Eeyore. And, you know, Eeyore, right? You know, Disney's character, you know. Oh, it might be a sunshiny day, but it's going to rain. I know it, you know. I'd like to argue that point, but I'll do that another time. But here, again, David in the Psalms, he says here in, or excuse me, not David, but Peter in his first letter to the church. It's been dispersed. I mean, they're running for their lives. They're being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And he writes and he says, casting all your anxieties. He's saying, entrusting all your burdens on him. Is this what you do, family? Is this what you do? This is what I found myself doing. He's reminding me, come on, roll all these things over off of your back onto the Lord's. Remember these things, Ron. You preached them, now do them. Amen. Casting all your anxieties on him. Because, why? Because he cares for you. He has a tremendous sense of welfare for each and every one of us kids. He loves us so very much. I want to encourage you, write down Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 32. Read that over this afternoon. It'll bless you. There you'll see his grace and his mercies active. And you'll be able to see how he's been active in your own life. David said in Psalm 55, verse 22, casting your burdens on the Lord, entrusting, giving full responsibility for all of this to the Lord. And he will sustain you. He will support you. He will give you relief. And he does that, family. I can bear absolute testimony. Kathy can tell you this. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never, circle that word, never. He will never, never, it's olam in the Hebrew. Permit the righteous to be moved. David saying, roll your burdens over onto the Lord. It's okay. He's all powerful. He can handle it. He can do it. So here's your action step. Be doers, family. Be doers of the above three passages of Scripture. And then watch. Watch. Abba is mighty to save. And it would seem that he can move mountains. He can move a tumor out of Kathy's brain. He's mighty to save. He can move mountains. And he is the light of the world. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is the one who has all these things that he wants to do for us. He wants us to continue to be, with this knowledge, lights in the city. He wants us to go forth and be lights in this valley. He wants us to be lights in the lives of other people. He wants us to give testimony to his grace and his mercy that he gives so freely and that he gives grandly. He wants us to be witnesses and to testify about his amazing grace and mercy. Get it? Good. So here we stop today, but next time we'll pick up with Father God's mercy and grace in surgery, in my girl's surgery. Let's pray. Abba, thank you for your presence here with us this morning. Thank you for drawing us together to your wonderful, loving heart. Thank you for manifesting to us your great love for each of us, especially your children. And this love that goes beyond us who are part of your family, to those that you're drawing to yourself, these people that have yet the taste of the fullness of your grace and your mercy, and you want them to taste fully of these marvelous, supernatural, life-changing gifts that you've given to us who are your kids. So, Father, we pray for those who have yet to give their lives to you. We ask that they will soon, soon give their lives to you. Even as Pastor Eugene spoke this morning, being baptized twice, because the first time he thought he might have been saved, but he wasn't. And there are so many that make up the American church who think they're saved but are not, because we are not loving as you have called us to be loving. We are not these people who are gracious and merciful. We have let you down, so many who are in the American church who really don't have your wonderful characteristics birthed in us yet. We look forward to that time when more and more, especially those who are churchgoers, will give their lives to you and receive these magnificent gifts that change us to be more and more like your lovely Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.